You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to talk to you because I have a job interview in like 2 days. It's like a first interview. You know, it's one of the things I don't like about some of these job interviews. Like this job interview in particular, I have to prepare a 30-minute presentation. This guy just totally cut me off and then was waving at me and then slowed down while he was still blocking the way to make sure I saw him waving. And like looked like he was like, isn't this guy going to wave back? And I'm like, just get out of the way. I stopped so that we did not collide. I think I've done my part. You waved, I appreciate it, but like, you know, I think I don't have to wave back, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, I have to prepare like a half hour presentation and then do a half hour Q&A, so it's an hour. And you know, a half hour presentation requires a lot of work on my end. And it just, I always think like, well, I hope that if I don't get the job, they are actually going to use some of these ideas. And then sometimes I wonder, like, maybe if I ran a business, what I would do if I was like, we want to start this new service or something, but we don't really know exactly what we want to do. Maybe what we should do is interview people. But, like, if I was going to do a... if you wanted to do, like, a community survey, and you really wanted the answers to come out in your favor, a great way to do it would be, like, pretend you're holding a job search, but then basically ask people the survey questions. Because not only would you get a bunch of people who would answer the survey, they would probably answer it very positively in your favor, and therefore you'd have a terrible scientific survey, which really, you know, is the reason that surveys just can't be trusted anymore for anything. And also, you know, you'd get your stuff done, right? It's a double whammy. And it's not like, it's kind of weird to me that there's no, it's not like when you do an interview for a place that's, you know, and then you don't get the job. It's not like they're like, but here's $25 for the time you spent. You know what I mean? They're just like, well, you didn't get the job. But anyway, I thought something interesting to talk about is some of my least favorite job interview questions. Now, one type of question that I know most people don't like, you know, one that circulates around my work a lot is, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? And I hate those questions. And I understand the purpose of them, you know. It's not really your answer, it's because they're just trying to see how you think. And I think they're trying to see that you would explain yourself or whatever. But it's kind of a dumb question. Like, I feel like if I get asked a question like that, at this point in my career, the only answer is kind of like, you know, I don't really know a lot about trees. So when you're asking what kind of tree I would be, it's hard for me to say exactly, because I don't, you know, I don't really know what the difference between a deciduous tree and like a whatever. I mean, I know what an evergreen is, but that's not really a kind of tree, is it? That's a like a species of tree or something, a sub-tree, whatever. Anyway, you know, aspen tree? I mean, I don't fucking know. I don't know enough about trees to know what their qualities are to say that whatever, like, oh, well, I'd be like the trees that are in Yellowstone, because I'm a believer that sometimes you gotta, like, burn it all down and start over. You gotta be willing to do that to get the work. Or, you know, oh, I'm an evergreen, where I think I'm a very steady presence and, you know, I help out. But I'm not immune to beetles. Beetles really kick my ass. I just don't know. I don't know. I feel like my answer to that would have to be like, can you ask me if I'm like a something else, like besides a tree? You know, like, that's like kind of asking me if you were a type of pineapple. And I would be like, I wasn't totally aware that there were different varieties of pineapple, you know, or like apples. I'd be like, I mean, all right, I've got a red, a green, and what are those real expensive ones? A golden delicious. So anyway, I hate those questions. I just think those questions are silly. And also, I feel like there's no wrong answer. It's just they're like... It's like they're trying to trip you up or something, or maybe they're trying to make you think. Having been on both sides of this, I've done some interviewing and interviewed. As an interviewer, I would hate that kind of question, because I'd be like, this is not going to provide me any information unless the person just, like, flips the fuck out. You know, or is, like, I would want to be very combative about it. Or, you know, I don't know. What are we trying to avoid? Like someone who cannot think in metaphor or something like that? Who's like, I do not understand. I'm a human. You're like, Also, I think that would be a case where perhaps we're denying someone a job because of a disability of some kind. So I hate those. I hate those questions. Like, there was this book that came out that was like, here are the questions they ask at Google, which I gather they don't really do anymore. You know, but the one I remember was like, if you were shrank down to the size of a nickel and inside a blender and the blender was going to start in 1 minute, you know, what's your escape plan, basically? And I was like, all these unusual things are happening and I'm the size of a nickel. You know, I don't know. I don't know enough about blenders. I don't know enough about shrinking. I just watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, so I would probably have my aunt friend help me out. And by that I mean the insect, not mom's sister friend. I don't like those. I mean, I understand too. Those are like more about you explaining the way you're thinking and sort of people skilling it up, I think. Then there are the questions that I think are really standard that I also don't like, which, for example, I don't like the question of what's your 5-year plan? Because I think that's stupid. I think, and I could be totally wrong, but I think most successful people will tell you they have a 5-year plan, but what they probably won't tell you, because they probably don't really remember, is they also had a lot of other 5-year plans, at least vague ones, that didn't pan out. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I had a successful 5-year plan. Well, yeah, if in 5 years from now, my life is pretty ideal, I will be like, well, that was my plan. But, you know, making a 5-year plan is asinine. I mean, think about this. I could, you know, if I impregnated someone, I could have a 4-year-old child in 5 years. My life is going to look pretty fucking different than if I didn't do that, right? I mean, whoever came up with their 5-year plan, and it was like September 10th, 2001, probably saw some significant changes in their plan. You know what I mean? Because the world changed around them. I mean, you can't really... I don't know. If I had my 5-year plan and dead in the middle was D-Day and I was 19 years old, I mean, that would probably be pretty fucking different. So I think it's, like, good to know what you want to do with life and all that kind of stuff. But also, I mean, this is, like, a thing where Poon Master Flex insists that I'm not normal, I guess. I have never seen work as a place from which to derive joy or a sense of identity. Like, I've never seen my job as a, I guess I don't go home feeling like, well, I've made my impact. Like, I feel like the things I do outside of work are where I make my impact, you know, or where I do the things that I would really like to do, or where I just feel like I'm doing stuff that other people aren't doing. You know, I don't know. And I don't think it's a case of just like, well, it's the job I have. It's like, I have never felt like that at a job. Granted, I've had mostly crappy jobs before this one. You know what I mean? But I guess I've always been someone who saw like work as a means to an end. Like, I've always seen work as not optional, and I'm going to have to work. So you might as well find something that's not super destructive of your life. Something that you can compartmentalize and whatever. Because I think if you can compartmentalize your work, then it doesn't really matter. As long as if you can compartmentalize and you make enough money, then the rest doesn't matter because the rest of your life is your own. But if you can't compartmentalize, then you better have a job that you kind of like. Because otherwise, your job, which you don't like, is bleeding into your life, and you're pretty much fucked. I mean, there's no way. If you're, you already spend like 40 plus hours a week there, and if you're spending another 15 to 20 hours a week there mentally, then there's no point. Like, you might as well just do something else where you feel like you can compartmentalize it. I mean, this is like probably the worst career advice ever. To be like, I'm a big fan of parceling off your life and whatever. But, you know, I think that a lot of career advice is basically just like, oh, well, do this. Do what makes you happy. Do what you love. Da-da-da-da. And I'm kind of like, well, that's not going to happen for a lot of us. A lot of us maybe don't love something that's a career, or we don't, you know, we didn't find out we loved something until we'd kind of already gone. And, you know, some things you love. If I love watching movies, it's going to be tough to make a career out of that. It's easy to make a few bucks. It's easy to do something with that creative that you enjoy and makes you feel fulfilled. But to make, you know, $40,000 a year to support a family, to own a home or something, fuck it. Like, it's not going to happen. So I think what I'm saying is, it just depends on what your, you know, if your goal is like, well, I just want to have, like, enough time where I go home and do shit I like to do, then fuck it. You don't have to do some amazing job. And, like, I don't think people should feel shitty for not being fulfilled by their careers. Like, I think a lot of people, if you hear, I don't feel fulfilled by my career, you're kind of like, well, you're in the wrong job, and also there's probably someone in that job who is fulfilled. And these things may be true, but also I think it's like, I don't know, if the person's doing a good job, fuck it, who cares? So I hate 5-year plan. I hate it. I got asked at a recent interview a question, which is, what are the 3 biggest lessons you've learned in your life? Which weren't questions that I hated. I didn't hate the question, but I was like, what I hated about it is the panel seemed mildly frustrated that it took me a little while to come up with my answers. Which I was like, well, I'm taking the question seriously, and you're asking me the 3 biggest lessons I've learned in my entire life. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty huge. And I just, you know, I feel like that kind of question, too, I just find a little bizarre. I just find it to be like, I mean, I think this is another thing, is that a lot of people feel like a need to be their authentic self at work and stuff like that. And I just feel like work is where I go to work. And I really don't have a problem with other people who are being their authentic selves at work and who feel like that's, you know, good for them and whatever. And, like, that doesn't bother me. If someone was like, no, this is who I am, I'm this authentic weirdo at work, I'd be like, that's cool, I can work with that. I'm not going to be my authentic self at work. Because I just think it does not come to my benefit ever to be myself at work. I mean, I don't know. I consider my personal self to be vaguely unemployable. But my work self is employable. So whatever. My work self 40 hours a week and then not the rest of the time as much as possible. I hate the question about, you know, where they ask you about your weakness or something like that. I even got a little coaching before the interview because it was like, you know, I'm going to tell you, like, we just want honest answers because we want to make sure you're a good fit for the job, but also that the job's a good fit for you. And if you're not honest, you might find yourself in a job that you don't like. Which, you know, I was like, that's true. I mean, I got it, but that's fine. I understand some people might not treat it that way. I mean, that's how I treated my past interviews, is I try to be myself a little bit just because, you know, if I'm a complete fake whatever and I'm like, oh, I love this and that, when the truth is I hate it, it's like, well, then what's the benefit? You're going to end up with a job you fucking hate? Great. That sounds like a good idea. But, you know, the question and the example used was like, so if we asked you a question like, you know, about your weaknesses, we don't really want an answer like, I work too hard. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I think that's a stupid question to ask. Because when you ask someone in a job interview, what's your weakness, aren't you really just asking them, like, what's the best weakness turn into a strength turnaround you can do? Flip this house, flip this idea. Here's the idea. You suck at something. Now, how do you make that a strength? You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, I don't know. And you try and just find other ways to basically say the thing of, oh, I'm not going to tell you my weakness. Like, you're going to have to discover that for yourself. You know, I don't know. I don't know who goes into an interview and they're like, what's your weakness? And they're like, I tend to lose enthusiasm for projects almost immediately. Before I even really initiate the project, I'm kind of over it a lot of times. You know what I mean? Because that's, if someone said that in an interview, I would be like, I feel that way often, and I would be like, I don't know that I like that this person said that, even though when I think about it, I think, well, that's probably true, and of things that someone could be weak in, that's really not going to be that damaging, because I think that this is true of most people. However, there's like this weird unspoken covenant where it's like, yeah, but you're not supposed to say something like that, because if, you know, there's this like weird idea that if someone is willing to say that in an interview, then really their worst thing is they must have killed a guy, right? Because if they're willing to go that far, then what their actual worst thing is must be horrendous. Because what I'm supposed to do is say something that alludes to that fact, right? That's sort of like, well, my weakness is da-da-da-da, and that kind of alludes to the fact that I have a low threshold for boredom. But then, you know, so then they assume like, he might pick up and put down projects quickly. So if I say I pick up and put down projects quickly, they're like, Jesus Christ, he's a murderer. That's the only explanation. All right, well, that's a quick summary. Quick summary there. So this will probably be a little disjointed because I recorded a segment yesterday or the day before. Now I'm doing another segment, and they're totally disconnected. So it's hard to know what I was talking about. But actually, I think I remember. I think I was talking about job interviews. I have this job interview in question in 90 minutes. And 0 minutes. I was thinking about, so Poon Master Flex helped me prepare for my interview. You know, we did Google Hangouts together and stuff. And what happened was, you know, she was laying on the bed in her apartment, and then the cat was sitting on her back, just looking off into the distance, squinting, as cats are wont to do. Wanton to do all the time. So it was good. I was like, this is very distracting. I can't imagine that whatever they're doing in the interview will be more distracting than this. Also, I was thinking how, you know, like, you know, what would be funny if, what would be really bizarre for someone to do in an interview, but that maybe wouldn't get them, you know, so that I wouldn't give them the job? What wouldn't immediately eliminate them as a candidate, but would be possibly very strange? One thought I had is it would be pretty interesting if someone did an interview and they were holding a lit cigar the entire time. And then, so what you do is you do the interview, and this whole time you're holding a cigar, right? And you're kind of waving it around and gesturing. Maybe occasionally you put it in your mouth, but not when you're talking. And then 3-4 minutes after the interview, you immediately email the interview person, and you're like, oh my God, I just realized I was doing that. I am so sorry. It's a, you know, smoking cigar is kind of my nervous habit, and, I was smoking a cigar before the call started, and then just sort of, it just sort of like it wasn't there the whole time. I think that would be pretty amazing. Poon Master Flex was like, I think I would not hire that person. And I was like, I think I might hire that person. I don't think I would be immediately opposed to the idea of hiring that individual. I don't know, it's interesting. I guess it's the biggest risk is, you know, they would come walking into work with a lit cigar one day and you'd be like, get that donkey tail, put it out, and then come back inside. That just doesn't seem like a high-risk situation to me. Doesn't seem like something that's unhandleable. Unhandleable? That was the best one I came up with, to be honest. Was something like that. I just feel like, It's hard to find a gray area there where you're like, I don't think that someone would necessarily be immediately eliminated, you know, and you could do variations on this, right? Like, all right, maybe the person's not smoking a cigar, but they have a lit cigarette in the ashtray right next to them, and they're just sort of, you know, the cigarette is smoldering during the entirety of the interview. So it's clearly like you're smoking a cigarette or whatever. Something like that, where you're just like, well, I don't think they could really not hire you for that, but they might, you know, just not hire you for that because whatever. I mean, you can not hire someone for anything, basically. I think it's so hilarious the way that we do, you know, like there's all these laws designed to sort of keep people from, you know, I can't deny someone a job. Like, they interview for the job, they're qualified. I can't be like, why did you not hire this person? I can't say, well, because they were smoking a cigarette. You know what I mean? Or, like, whatever. And you can't say something like, I just don't think they would fit in with the sort of office environment here. Because that has a lot of implications. But it's like, all you do is say something. You just basically, if you don't want someone, all you have to do is listen to their interview, pick out something that, you know, was not stellar, and just be like, well, they indicated this and da-da-da-da. Or you can be like, combination of experience and da-da-da-da. I mean, it's so easy to just put something in. You know, and I'm not in a position to do this. So I this isn't something I would actually do. But I'm just saying, I think it's kind of funny that there are these laws designed to protect people. And they're like the weakest laws. Like the easiest laws to get around of all time. All you have to do is basically decide who you want and then look through what they said, pick out the best bits, look through what someone else said, pick out the worst bits, and then bam, that's it. And it's very weird to me. The whole concept of the job interview, too, I think is very flawed. I was reading this book. There's some guy who worked for a tech company who's like, I don't even do job interviews anymore. Like, we used to do the interview, we'd fly the people out, all that shit. And he's like, now I just have kind of like, over the course of 3 or 4 days, I'll have a text conversation with somebody, you know, and we'll text back and forth. And he's like, I feel like I get a much better idea of the person that way and how communicative they are and so on and so forth. And so at first when I read that, I thought, well, that's nuts. Like, you can't know someone from a text string. And then I was like, well, maybe you can, like, you can't really know someone from a fucking interview either. You know what I mean? You're like, well, yeah, this is the version of you that's putting out the best side of you for an hour. I mean, it's basically, an interview is really like tests. Can you maintain your best version of yourself for an hour? And is your best ideal version of yourself good for this job position? And if that's the case, then whatever. Or, you know, like, I thought it was a freelance writing, right? Like, at Lit Reactor. Do you know what the interview process was? They're like, okay, give us a writing sample. Give us, like, 3 or 4 proposed articles that you might write. And, you know, sort of an introductory email. That's it. And that makes complete sense to me. It's like, all right, if you just fucking, you basically do a miniature version of the job. And they're like, all right, this person knows what they're doing. Let's try them out, right? One thing I think is weird, though, about jobs is, like, I think it's It seems very uncommon for people to do a job thing where it's like you have a 90-day trial period or something like that, which I understand because it's like, listen, if I was going to have a 90-day trial period and I thought it was like 50-50, why would I give up a steady job for that? That would be crazy. Like, I'm not going to – who's going to relocate or do something like that for a job that it's like, well, you might not be here in 4 months? So I kind of understand why that doesn't work, but I kind of wish there was some other way, you know, for them to start having you do stuff and then see what's going on. I don't know. This is why I'm a big believer of promoting from within whenever possible. Because it's like, well, you know what they can do. There's no question. You've seen how they behave in the work environment. You've seen what their work is like. And you know what you're getting yourself into. Like, an outside person's totally unknown. But you gotta hire outside sometimes, right? Because sometimes you just don't have the right person, or you don't have a good applicant, or whatever. It's complicated. I just think it's kind of funny that, like, job interviews is what we've decided is the sort of gold standard for whatever. And it's like, and there's all this little stuff that goes along with the job interview, right? It's like, okay, did they show up on time? Were they dressed appropriately? Did they seem prepared? You know, this job interview, I've had to do like hours of work to get it ready. And just feel like, I mean, this is a lot of work to do for a hypothetical project. I'm hoping it's a real project. And even if I don't get the job, they're like, well, let's take some of these ideas and whatever. I don't know. At least maybe get some thinking about it. But it's just a lot of unpaid work, which I'm not a big fan of in general. This is a debate in the freelance writing world a lot of the time, is like, should you write things for free or should you never write anything for free? And like every debate in the writing world, I think it's fucking stupid. Like, you know, there's a big debate. I'm pitching a column about self-publishing versus traditional publishing, right? Because it's like, this is an ongoing debate, which I think is so stupid. Because it's like, look, if a traditional publisher is going to publish somebody, they're going to be pretty happy about that. And it's hard for me to imagine someone having the option of traditional publishing and being like, no, fuck that. Unless they're already super established and this is an unusual project, or they just don't need, you know, E.L. James does not need a publisher, right? If she decided to write something else, she probably doesn't need a publisher. Stephanie Meyer, Suzanne Collins, J.K. Rowling, James Patterson. I mean, he could just do his own publishing house. But it's like, the debate is dumb, because what you notice about the debate, I think the debate is just like circumcision, which is nobody knows what it's like outside of their own experience, and therefore what they do is just replicate their own experience and come up with reasons for why that's the best way to go, or right, or correct, or whatever, however you want to say that. And that just, like, pisses me off, because I just feel like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Why bother? I mean, what you're saying is, the way I've done my path, the way I've lived my life, and the chances that have worked for me are the best. I mean, both of them are shitty options. That's the truth. The truth of the matter isn't like, oh, one is great and one's terrible, or, like, they're both great and, you know, enjoy life. It's like, you know, they both kind of suck. I mean, yeah, nobody wants to be self-published in that you then also have to self-market and self-put a cover on and self-edit and do all these self things, right? You have to do everything yourself, including all the stuff that has nothing to do with writing a book. On the other hand, I think people see, you know, I think that there's a mistaken idea, especially outside the world of writing, that if your manuscript is good and you send it to a publisher, it'll get published. And that is just not true. And I think there's also a mistaken idea that this is, like, easy. Publishing a manuscript, sending it out to agents or publishers, is like applying for a job. Every single one is like a job application. First, you gotta get the manuscript, sometimes printed. Now it's mostly digital, but a lot of them still do X number of pages printed, which is crazy. Then you gotta put a packet together, you know, and they all want something different. you know, they all, it's like job interviews. They want you to do something that you did specifically for them, right? They don't want you to reuse the same packet or something. That would, God forbid. So you got to like put a, and you got to put together a cover letter. You got to do all this stuff. I mean, it is just like applying for a job, and then you put it in the mail, and then you hear back in like 8 weeks. You get a self-addressed stamped envelope with your own crappy handwriting, and you're like, what is this? What crazy person has mimicked my handwriting style so perfectly? And then you open it, and you're like, oh, right. And then you just start over again. Or you don't. It's very lose-lose.
You're not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two times. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone dogs and are they in harmony?